Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the last chapter of the book of Ephesians. We have 24 verses that we're going to finish up, not today, of course. We're going to cover only one verse. We're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, as we start now talking about warfare. This morning, it is critical, it is paramount that you learn and make sure that you know your enemy. And the enemy, our enemy, is the wicked one. Amen? So we have learned and how to walk worthy of our calling that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've talked about marriage and children and the employee relationship, employer rather. And now we're going to talk about war. And listen to me carefully. Beginning in verse 10, if we do not, if the believer, if he doesn't walk worthy, meaning to hear the word of God and to do the word of God, to know doctrine and apply doctrine. That is a balanced walk. If you do not do that, loved one, listen, here's what you need to prepare for. You need to be prepared to walk, or rather to have a defeated walk in your life. We are in a real war. Amen? And we need to understand this war. And you know, only the Bible, praise the Lord, only the Bible tells whoever dares or cares rather to read it, or it certainly tells the believer, you know, that we have an enemy. It tells us that we are in a war. It tells us who we are in a war with. And it tells us also how to win this war that we're in till the very last day of our lives. Only the Bible tells us how the enemy, the wicked one, tells us his tactics, his schemes, and his methods of warfare. Now, with all that being said, you must know your enemy, understand him, as best as the Bible teaches us. Did you know that Jesus spoke more about the demons than he did angels? Did you know he spoke more about hell than he did heaven? Jesus told us in Luke 14, 31, he says, or what king, meaning our Lord, on what king going to war against another king, and that's Satan, of course, who does not sit down first, consider what he is able to do with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. We have to be prepared. We have to know our enemy. Only the Bible tells us the devil's beginning. It tells us the devil's fall, and it tells us his end. In the past, the Bible tells us all about the origin of the devil, and not only that, and where he came from and how he came to be, if you will. Now, you can turn with me if you want to, but I'm going to cover a lot of scriptures this morning, or you can just write them down. But you remember, who in the world created Satan? God did. You remember that? But he wasn't called Satan. Then he was called Lucifer. Now, the Bible says in Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created in heaven, on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him, meaning Jesus Christ, all things consist in the entire universe. He holds everything together. Now listen carefully. We're going to know about this enemy because God created Satan, if you will. The devil is what we call him. But he created a Lucifer, if you will, good. Did you know that? The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 4:4, everything that God created was good. God doesn't create evil. Did you know that? That's right. We know something happened, though. You know, the devil was lifted up. He became the first sinner, the first murderer, and he was also the first liar. And then he led a multitude of angels with him in this rebellion against God. It says in Isaiah 14:12, listen carefully, talking about Lucifer in heaven. It says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, or the word literally means day star or morning star. And it says, how you are cast down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. Now, sin began in heaven by the wicked one. Listen carefully. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And then verse 15, God says this to him. He says, yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. That's called the five I wills, if you will, of Lucifer. And you know what he wants? He wants it even today. He wanted the throne of God. He wanted everything that belonged unto God. And you know, again, he wants the entire rulership of the entire world, the universe, and everyone who lives in it. And his desire today, right this minute, has never changed since he fell from heaven. Has never changed. Do you know that the Bible teaches us that there is someone coming? A man that is coming? He is called the man of sin, a person whose life is totally dominated by sin. And you know what's amazing? It's how easy this world can follow only one man. Isn't it? Does that ever blow you away? I mean, just one man. Let's just bring it up to something we can all relate to, or maybe if you're older. And that is, I mean, look how one man named Elvis Presley changed the entire world, didn't he? It was unbelievable. Then in the early 60s, guess another group came. They were called the Beatles. They changed everything. But just one man. And then just think, we can bring it up even closer to George Floyd, the poor man that was killed. Listen, and look what's still going on right now, all around the world. We live in the most confusing times, I believe, that we have ever seen. Now, with all of that being said, Satan still wants to rule. He still wants God's place. It tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2:4 that this man of sin, he is coming, and it says, he who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or all that is worshipped. He is going to demand the worship of every person upon this planet. It says, so that he sits as God, he enthrones himself as God, and listen to where it's at, in the temple of God. The word there is the naos of God, meaning the holy of holies of God. Talking about the temple in Jerusalem, which means the temple has to be rebuilt, amen? And he says he is going to show himself that he is God. But he's not God. He is a created being. Isaiah describes his fall. Ezekiel gives us his origin and also the origin of evil. Now, in Ezekiel 28, it's very important. Ezekiel 28 is a dual prophecy. It's talking about the king of Tyre, but it's also talking about the wicked one, the devil. And so you can read that, and there's a lot of scholars, and I love them and respect them. They go, there's no way that this has anything to do with the devil who fell from heaven and so forth. Well, I disagree with that. It says here in this description, there's no way it can be a human king, okay? It says, moreover, in Ezekiel 28:11, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, or Tyre, and say to him, thus saith the Lord, you were the seal of perfection, meaning you were a perfectly created being. And you were not only that, you were full of wisdom and you were perfect in beauty. So again, the Bible teaches us that Satan is created and he was created perfect. He was the highest angel, if you will, in heaven. He was probably the one before the throne room of God. And not only that, he had moral choice. He could choose. He was free to choose, just like we're free to choose. Now, it says in verse 13 of Ezekiel 28, it says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Now, it would be impossible for the king of Tyre to have been there. Amen? Okay. It says, every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the sapphire, the turquoise, the emerald, and with gold. The workmanship of your trembles and pipes were prepared or was prepared for you on the day you were created. Matter of fact, if we went over back into Isaiah, we would find out that he was incredibly gifted to sing there in heaven. And not only that, it says that he could play all types of stringed instruments. It's interesting who controls the music today, amen? Now, so every precious stone was Lucifer's covering. 9 gemstones, 9, of course, is a divine completion. It says now in verse 14 of Ezekiel, chapter 28, this is the most graphic picture of Satan in the whole Bible, by the way. It says this about him: "You were the anointed cherub," meaning he was the cherub, the top cherub, if you will. And it says, "who covers." Obviously, remember the cherubim had the wings, you know, that covered the Holy of Holies. Whether that is what this scripture is indicating, we don't know, but it's possibly. It says, "I established you, and you were on the holy mountain of God," meaning in heaven. "You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones." No human king has ever done that. Amen? Now, this seems to be before the throne of God. Do you remember when Nadab and Abihu and I think Moses and Aaron, whenever God called them up to the mount? And it says in Exodus 24:10, "And as they saw the God of Israel, there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in clarity," or the very substance of heaven. This is the throne room of God. And perhaps that is where Satan would lead the worship of the angels before God. We're not absolutely positive on that. But it says in verse 15, it says, "You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created." That's never been said of a person on earth, amen, except Jesus Christ our Lord. It says, "You were perfect in the from the day you were created until something happened, until iniquity was found in you." There's the beginning of sin. The very first sin was committed in heaven, loved one. And here it comes: "by the abundance of your trading," or the King James says merchandise, "by the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within." Now, that's when the battle of heaven took place, if you will. "And you sinned. Therefore," God says in his word, "therefore I cast you out as a profane thing, out of the mountain of God," out of heaven. He says, "I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones." Again, probably the throne room of God, the very presence of God. So that word trading means literally to go about one to another. And that's what Satan did. He lured a third of the angels, evidently in heaven, away from God. And they were cast out with him. So Revelation 12:4 says, "And he drew his tail and a third of the stars of heaven, and he threw them to the earth," speaking of the wicked fallen angels. Verse 17, Ezekiel 28 says, "And your heart was lifted up because of your beauty." You guys still with me? I'm teaching this morning. You need to know these things. "Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. And I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. And you defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading." Again, there he's going back and forth, luring the angels of heaven. "Therefore I brought fire from your midst, it devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you, and all who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you, and you have become a horror, and it shall be no more forever." That was his past. We all know his future. It's hell. Amen? Yes, and all those wicked demons. Did you ever think about this, what Jesus said in Matthew 25:41? That hell was created for the devil and his angels. Think about that. So, the seal of perfection. He was perfect in beauty, but that wasn't enough for Lucifer. He wanted God's place. He wanted to rule the universe, and he wants to rule every heart. You need to know your enemy. That was his past, and now we know what he is. He's a spirit. He's a created being by God. And now we also need to know something else about our enemy, and that's what he isn't. Number one, he is not omnipotent, okay? He is not all-powerful. He's not God's equal in any way. He's not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. He doesn't read your mind. He doesn't know what's going on. And not only that, he's not omnipresent, meaning he's not present everywhere. He is no equal to God. He is a fallen angel. Amen? Very important that we understand that. Now, we also need to know about our enemy that we live in his territory. Therefore, since we are in his territory, he is the God of this age, with a little g, if you will, we need to put on the whole armor of God to keep ourselves safe. Now, the Bible tells us about his territory. It says in 1 John 5:18, we know that whoever is born of God doesn't sin, meaning doesn't practice a lifestyle of sin. It says, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches us not. We know that we are of God, and here it is, and the whole world lies, the whole fallen world, those that don't belong to Christ, the whole world lies in the sway of, the Revised Version says, lies unconscious in the very arms of the wicked one. You need to know your enemy. He hates you. He hates you. He has no mercy. He has no goodness. He's the enemy of God. He's the enemy of Christ Jesus. He is the enemy of the Holy Spirit. He is your enemy. He's the enemy of everything that is good. He is the enemy of all truth, for he is a liar, and there's no truth in him. Amen? So we need to know those things. And you must know the truth. And when you read in your Bible, listen carefully, I believe you should. I do. Whenever I read my Bible, I believe you should read the truth about him, and you read it this way. For example, he is the defeated one. He is defeated. He is the defeated Lucifer, or Satan, or devil, or slanderer. He's the one who comes to oppress, remember? That's what he does. Oh, what a horrible, horrible, wicked entity he is. He is the defeated prince of this world. So when you read that in your Bible, read it that way. He's the defeated prince of this world. He's the defeated God of this world. Let me read them all to you. He's the defeated evil one, or defeated wicked one. He is a defeated prince of the power of the air, meaning the heavenlies. He is that spirit that works in the sons of disobedience, but he's still defeated. He can't work in a believer like that. Amen? No, he can't. No, he can oppress us. He can tempt us, but he cannot touch us. We can never be possessed, in other words, by him. Oh, darkness can never be in the believer ever again. Do you understand? Because we were once darkness. Now we are light. Walk as children of the light. Amen? Oh, that's important. He's the accuser of the brethren, but he's the defeated accuser of the brethren. Beelzebub, the prince of devils. He loves to take people captive to do his will, it says in 2 Timothy 2:26. Not only that, he appears as an angel of light. He's a lover of open doors. Remember what the Bible says? Give no opportunity to the wicked one, the devil. Don't open a door for him. And not only that, the Bible teaches us that he is defeated and how he's defeated. And that is 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, came to this planet, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he did. Amen? See, Satan is defeated. He is not God. He is not anything like God. Do you understand? Oh, it's so vital. You say, Bill, this is elementary teaching. Well, there's a lot of people that need elementary teaching. Amen? They need to be reminded the basics all over the ABCs of God's word. The Bible tells us in Colossians 2:15, Paul says, having disarmed principalities and powers, in other words, stripping all the fallen angels and the devil, he says he made a public spectacle of them, like a parade, if you will, a parade in the universe. I love that. He says, triumphing over them in it, meaning the cross. Listen. The battle has been won. Jesus has won the battle for you. Amen? Don't ever, ever forget that. We know that the devil exists. We know that his demons exist. But listen to me, they are fallen, and they exist defeated. Don't ever forget that. They exist defeated. You've heard me say it a million times in this church. The Christian fights from the point of victory. The devil always fights from the point of defeat. We have overcome the world because we're in him who has overcome the world. Amen? And not only that, we must know and believe that the defeated one is not only defeated, but you're not defeated and it can't be defeated by him. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:14, it says, children or fathers, it says, you are strong. You are strong. Present tense, right this minute. Why were they strong? Because you have the word of God abiding in you, living in you. You know God's word. And it says, and you have overcome the wicked one. We have overcome him, loved one. Listen, it is so important to know that we, the church, the Christian, we're the only people, the only family on this planet that has overcome the prince of this world. Jesus told the disciples and us as well in Luke 10:19, I believe it was. And he said, when they were rejoicing, remember that they were casting out demons. He says, oh, they even the demons are subject to us in your name. And they said, oh, Jesus, yes, I saw lightning, Satan falling from heaven like lightning. And he says, and you have all authority, all power over the enemy, meaning the wicked one, and nothing shall hurt you. Man, that's you have that as well. And it's so important that we understand that. See, the strength, the secret of our strength. You know, you hear people binding devils and binding this and shouting and cursing and everything. You know, listen, I mean, if people do that, listen. No, we don't need to shout at the devil, but I tell you what we need to do. We need the only weapon that will keep him defeated. And that, loved one, is the armor of God. You know, listen, we're strong. Why? We have the word of God living in us. But we also are strong, and we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 10 is paramount. That is our starting point right there. If you don't walk worthy of verse 10, again, you better prepare for a defeated walk. It says, and look at it with me, finally, my brethren, be strong in what? In whom? In the Lord. Be strong in the power of his might. Let me ask you a question. Is God's power infinite? Think about it. Let there be light, and light was. The stars appeared. I mean, is that power? He says, finally, my brethren, the church, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That word power is only used in the New Testament of supernatural power, speaking of God's power, or it could be satanic power as well. And that word might there, strength, speaks of the strength that you possess, whether you use it or not. You have everything you need. So finally, brethren, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that's exactly where you begin. You cannot find any other power to help you in warfare except right there. And you must believe and you must know in your heart that you possess what God says he has given unto you, the greatest power in all of the universe. See, the devil, man, he delights in believers, especially believers who don't know God's word. Amen? He delights in that. He delights to find or believers that come against him and they don't know God's word. Man, and that they try to defeat him, come against him, resist him in their own human wisdom or in their own human strength. You cannot defeat him in your own human wisdom or your own human strength. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, meaning we're in a war, for the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They're not of this world. They're not of the flesh. They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen? We have all the power that we need. So we can't depend upon human weapons. We can only depend, carnal weapons, but our human strength. It says in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, here it comes, according to the power that works in us. That's God's power. The power that is working in us right now. And you know, here's the deal. If you don't use it, whose fault is it? Amen. No wonder it tells us, remember Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit. That's a daily thing. It is a command from God. We need to walk in the power of another. Ephesians 1:19, remember when Paul was praying? He says, praying, and he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power, God's power, toward us who believe? Let me read that one more time. Paul was praying, and he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand of God in heavenly places, far above all principality. That's Satan's rule, by the way. Far above all power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but which is in the age to come. Now listen to me. This is so important that we believe this, because I don't know about you, but this has been one of the, even to this moment, it seems like the warfare has increased like never before. It started with that power outage. Do you understand? Then all of a sudden we had $1,000 spent here. Then we had nearly $5,000. Just one thing after another was going wrong. Man, and then how it took all this time to get the church back up is crazy. And then the warfare this week. Listen, but we have won. Do you understand? Listen to me now. We cannot fight from feelings. I had early morning prayer this morning. And then on the way in, I was still praying. And it was like the Lord spoke into my heart. You know, when you know the scripture, we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, we can also say that we walk by the facts of the Word of God and not the way we feel at the very present moment. Does that make sense? See, they can weigh on you. The enemy, he wants to oppress you. He always attacks the mind. That's why you have to know the Word of God and apply the Word of God to every lie that he tells you. Now, with all that being said, this power that we just that I just read there, his greatness, the greatness of his power toward us who believe. Listen to me now. That means that all of God's power is directed toward you if you believe it. If you believe it. If you don't believe it, how's it going to work? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Amen? Listen, I start looking at that and I say, oh, Lord, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, seated him at the right hand of God, and the one who is the sole head of the universe, the sole head of the church, and we're the church. Amen? Listen, that is the same power that is working in you right this minute. You have to have that power to keep the wicked one at bay. You have to do what God says. But verse 10, again, is paramount. It will do us no good if we don't, verses 11 and following. It will do us no good, loved one, unless verse 10 is living in your heart, because it says you have to believe that. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, not part of it, all of it, that you may be able to stand against the what? The wiles, the methods, the strategies, the schemes of the adversary, the devil. Man, listen, it's God's armor. It is nothing, it's not our armor. God says, put on my armor. Put it on, equip yourself. Did you know that word put on is urgent? You need to do it right every day of your life. He told us to stand. That's a military term. It means you hold your position. That's how you fight the devil. Did you know that? You hold your position. Having done all to stand, what do you do? Stand therefore. Amen. That's what the Bible tells us. Now, that'll be you or it won't be you. We're going to be in a battle until the very moment in that hospital bed or your own bed at home or wherever it's going to happen, until the last day of our lives. God says, you can win. Now, listen to me. Verse 10 tells us that it is God's will that you never be a victim of the wicked one. Amen. It's God's will. He says, just here's my armor. All you have to do is put it on. You don't have to be a victim. You can always be the victor. You got to remember something. The powers of darkness attack. They attack. I remember one night in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And I had gone back up there because we could not make a living to support my family. And I work in the engineering, okay? Make a long story short, so I rented a little room. And I'll never forget as I lay there in that bed. Not that I hear a lot in the supernatural, and I don't particularly want to hear anything in the supernatural unless it's God, amen? But I literally heard the demonic realm laughing at me and mocking me. You know what I did? I said, if you can't support me in Texas, Lord, I got a problem. I got back in my truck, I packed my suitcase, and I went back home. You know, that told me right there that I didn't belong up there. Listen, we are in a war. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober. In other words, better have some control in your life. Vigilant. Keep up. You need to be watching. You need to be on the lookout and staying awake. And the reason? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, like a starving lion, if you will, seeking whom he may devour. And here's what we're to do. It says, resist him steadfast, not by screaming at him, not by yelling at him, not by binding him up. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, the word of God. You know the word of God. You know that he's defeated. Does that make sense? James 4:7, submit unto God, resist the devil, and he will what? That word flee means run in terror. But, you know, if you don't submit to God first, it's not going to do you any good to resist, because resist is a warfare term. It means you're in a war. No, you submit to the Lord. Lord, this is your word. Oh, thank you. I submit to you. And boy, and then you resist the devil and he will run from you. Listen, it's not going to be easy to resist him if you don't believe and act on and have verse 10 living and abiding in your heart every day. Every day you have to believe that. Oh, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not in anything that you have except God's power. Do you understand? Not your wisdom or any of those things. Oh, I tell you, listen, the prince of darkness, you know what he wants? He wants to steal all the wealth that you have learned in this great epistle. Do you know that? He wants you to forget it. You should memorize Ephesians. It's one of the greatest epistles ever written. No, you know what he wants to do? Satan has a goal, the god of this age, again, little g. You know what his goal is? His goal is to disable the new man. He wants to cripple the new man. Do you understand? And he is so smooth. There's so many ways. You have to know your enemy because you don't see him. He's invisible, loved one. And listen, we are in a real war. And do you know that we are in the longest war in the history of mankind? We're in a war against him. And you know what? Your children are going to be in a war. Your grandchildren are going to be in a war if God tarries. Do you understand? We've got to be wise. Listen, Satan wants to rule. You don't ever think, well, he just wants to rule believers. He wants to rule every person. He doesn't care if you're a Christian or a Muslim or this or that. He doesn't care. He wants to rule every heart in the entire universe. And a lot of people say, well, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Yes, he does. But did you know that Satan's main goal is not to destroy humanity? You know what his main goal is? Is to have humanity under his control. That's what he wants. That's exactly what he wants. He wants every person on this planet. We're talking about knowing your enemy. He wants every person on this planet to worship him. That's what he wants. That's his main goal. See, nothing has changed from the day he fell in heaven. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, it says this, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Think about that. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's what he wants. The Bible says he's coming, this man of sin, and he is going to deceive the world. Isn't it amazing? Everyone idolizes this one man. We're building up to that through all the events that we're seeing right today. Did you know that? How easy it is for especially this nation to look at one person. oh, man, if this man that's coming, he's not only a military genius, he's not only a religious genius, he's not only an economic genius, he's going to be the most charismatic person that ever walked the face of this earth. He'll have a draw. People will just, it's immediate. Listen, God's going to send those who do not love the truth. He's going to send them a lie. Do you remember? Oh, loved one, listen. You need to know your enemy. You need to know who you are in Christ Jesus. He wants to be the head of every person, every father, every mother, every business, every government. Why? Because Satan wants the advantage. You remember Paul the Apostle when they were talking about unforgiveness and there in Corinthians? In 2 Corinthians 2:11, and he said this, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. They needed to forgive that old boy. But in context, listen, what does it mean? He wants the advantage. He wants the advantage over every person. And that's what his desire is to rule people. He even wants to rule the body of Christ if he could even try, but he wants to. He loves to fill the churches with false teachers. Do you understand? Oh, the days that we're living in. You need to know your enemy, for he is always on the prowl. He's always seeking a victim. And listen to me now, Satan never rests. He never rests. He is always on the go. What does that mean? It means, Christian, this. You, me, we must be a warrior every day. Every day. You know, have you ever noticed how, are you addicted to your cell phone? Meaning you take it, I mean, it's in your pocket all the time. If you carry it with you through the house, if you're going to go brush your teeth, you take it with you. Do you do that? You don't do that? The Lord help me, would you? No, I'm just. Well, see, we need to be so addicted to the armor of God that that's one of the first things we put on every day, spiritually, every day before we walk out that door. We need to be prepared for battle. Let's say you're a police officer. Do you think the police officer that was leaving to go to work would forget his weapon? No. Well, then how in the world, why in the world should we forget our weapons? You need to leave your house armed every day with God's armor. You need to know your enemy, but you walk out that door, you need to also know who you are. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in us than he that is in this world. Amen? 1 John 4:17, what does it say? Oh, as he is, as Jesus is right now, present tense, as he is, so are we in this world. Right this very moment. Loved one, listen, you need to know who you are. You need to know that you have the greatest, most infinite power working in you, directed toward you in all of the universe. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, loved one, listen to me. I'm closing, but listen. Know your enemy because he knows you. He knows. He'll wait like he did for Eve. How long in the garden did he wait for Eve? How long? He disguised himself, hiding in the trees. Do you understand? She didn't get a full glimpse of him. The tempter. He waits. He watches. He looks. He knows. That's what the wicked spirits do. They are always watching. Remember that a demon, he is a parasite. And he has to have a host or he cannot manifest his personality. You understand? We're going to learn about all those things. But you know your enemy because, loved one, he knows you. And I'll say something else. I believe time is short. I do. We're living in unprecedented times. I just stay in God's word. I don't even want to listen to the news. That's the first time in my life. This year is the first time in my life because I love to check things out, know what's happening around the world. You know what I mean? I don't care. I just want to know what God is doing. I want to know what God is up to. I know what the devil is up to. Lord, where are we at? What's our time frame? I say time is short. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're listening live right now, maybe, I don't know, what, maybe home in your car, whatever it is. On the radio, I'm telling you something. If you don't know Christ, you're in trouble. You're in trouble right this minute, whether you believe it or not. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come, you might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, if you don't know Christ, the Bible says you are darkness. Not in darkness, you are darkness. Now think about that. I mean, the Bible says that if you're not a Christian, then Satan is blinding your mind so you will not believe the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shine upon you that you might be born again, that you would believe that in your heart. Man, listen, I'm telling you, if you are not a Christian, the Bible says that you are dead, spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. What a word. And you know what else? If you don't know Christ Jesus, he rules you. He rules your life and persuades you at the same time that he's not ruling your life. And you know what he wants you to do? He wants to rock you in his arms for the rest of your life until you finally close your eyes in death and find yourself eternally separated from the God who sent his only begotten Son to die as you and for you. You see, you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And you can do so. Those that are here maybe, or those that are listening live, you know what you can do? Just say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Come into my heart right now. I want you to save me. I confess it with my mouth. I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead. Jesus, be my Lord. Save me right now. If that's you, just say it. Save me, Jesus. I believe. And he will save you right now. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, that we are the people that reside on this planet that are totally undefeated by the powers of darkness. Lord God, we stand in your authority. We stand in your might. We stand in the perfect righteousness of Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord, our names are written in the book of life in heaven. Heaven is our home forever and ever and ever. So, Lord God, with every head bowed right now, every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer a moment ago, would you just, you don't have to come down to the altar, would you just lift your hand up and say, Bill, I prayed that prayer, and just put it right back down if that's you. Father, I thank you this morning then for your word. I thank you, Lord, for this next service. May your power just engulf each and every heart. Lord, again, keep everyone safe, COVID safe, especially, Lord, on this Labor Day weekend. And Lord, all those that we love that we're praying for, bring healing to their hearts and healing to their bodies. And Father, we lift up Diana Garcia of yesterday's funeral, Lord, and we pray for Diana and all of her children. Grandchildren, we pray for them all. We know, Lord, that you're comforting them and be with them and just touch them. Touch them right now, Lord, in such a special way. We pray this, we believe this in the greatest name in the universe, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. If you prayed that prayer, you're listening online and you prayed that prayer this morning,